If I'm being honest, I've never been very good at Play-Doh. Right? I think the reason I always wanted it was how it smells. It's got that unique Play-Doh smell, right? Like where crayons go to die or something. I mean, it's just got an odor to it. But I was never very good at being able to take a piece of clay, you know, a lump, and look at it and see anything other than a lump. Right? I mean, I would look at it and I'd go, you can make anything with this. Still just a lump. My sister-in-law, she's a ceramist. She's actually got her master's degree in ceramic arts and works up at the Northern Clay Center up in Minneapolis. You've heard the adventure of us getting her up there to Minneapolis. She can look at a lump of clay, and in it she sees possibility. She sees hope. She sees beauty. She sees something amazing. She's able to set at her potter's wheel and put a lump of clay on it. And where I just see a pile of wet clay, she sees the opportunity to make something unique. And she starts the wheel spinning, and her hands begin to touch the clay and shape it and mold it. And before long, her vision takes hold on that wheel. And that lump of clay that I thought was nothing more than just a pile of clay begins to form itself into something else. Begins to become something. And it's because of her vision into it. Because she didn't see a lump of clay. She saw a possibility. In the book of American Negro Poetry, I found this entry entitled, The Creation. Up from the bed of the river, God scooped the clay, and by the bank of the river, he kneeled him down. And there the great God Almighty, who lit the sun and fixed it in the sky, who flung the stars to the farmost corner of the night, who rounded the earth in the middle of his hand, this great God, like a mother bending over her baby, kneeled down in the dust, toiling over a lump of clay, till he shaped it in his own image. Then into it he blew the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Amen, amen. One of the enduring images that we have of God from Scripture is that of potter. God as a loving artisan who molds and shapes his creation lovingly, caringly. We see God's hands pulling our form from the dust and painstakingly creating us. It is an image of intimate contact between potter and clay, between creator and creation. God loving us so much as to craft our very being from nothingness. In this image, God starts with the lump of clay, begins to form and shape who we are, our physical being, our mental being, our spiritual being. Each touch by God leaves a mark, etches a shape, causes a lasting indentation upon us. To be sure, there are moments where God must stop, look, and back up, reshape something, remold certain areas, smooth out a rough patch. But each contact between God's hands and clay is recorded and shapes what comes next. There is a hypothesis, still unproven, that it might be possible to discover sounds etched in clay pots. The theory goes that when the wet clay was on the potter's wheel and was spinning at a certain velocity, if it was touched with a metal stylus of any kind, and there were sounds going on nearby, someone's voice, perhaps noises of the community the pot was made in, those sounds might be etched in the clay, much like a record needle on a record. Theory hasn't been proven yet, They're trying to figure out a way to do it, because the idea is, if it's possible, we might be able to go back and hear voices and sounds present in ancient pots, hear voices from millennia ago, saved and preserved forever in the hardened clay. If that were true, then in our creation, the great potter, God, what sounds might God have added to our structure? In addition to being shaped and formed by the hands of God, might the very word of God be present in our form? What does that suggest about our presence, that the very word of God might be in our fibers, in our being, as God lovingly spoke, as God shaped us? That the word of God is not just words printed on the paper to be read, but words recorded in our clay, in our form, words to be lived. What does that change about the way I walk my daily walk? To know that the word of God is etched into my being. How does that change my interactions, my choices, my priorities? What is different when I think that I am carrying the voice of God within my form today? You and I, each of us, were created, lovingly shaped by God. You are you and I am me, because this is what God wanted. This is what God chose. I look in the mirror, of course, and I can quickly find my faults, my weaknesses, my errors. I examine my life and I see the many, many ways I am incomplete, broken, damaged. But God's hands crafted me to be who I am. Every touch, every mark, every shape in the clay of my formation was chosen by God. The things God didn't want were reshaped and worked out. I went down to the potter's house, Jeremiah says. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hands, and he reworked it into another vessel as seemed good to him. I am the creation God made me to be. You are the creation God made you to be. The things that we think are imperfections or mistakes were chosen and created by God for us. I am a creation of the potter, made with purpose and distinction. But as we consider our form and shape as created by God, we must also recognize that since birth, there has been another set of hands on the wheel. Our hands have shaped and molded our lives as well and added much to our current form. We have reached into the spinning wheel and etched our own choices and our own prerogatives into the clay. Each relationship we have, each interaction, each decision is shaped by our hands, our movements, our very sounds. What words am I imprinting on the clay of my life? What actions are shaping and reshaping my life? I watched a video while I was preparing this sermon of an artist working with a piece of clay on the potter's wheel. They were spinning it. I believe it was a pot they were making. You know, and they started the wheel up, and it starts spinning faster and faster and faster, and the lump of clay is just kind of spinning there, and very gracefully and intentionally, the artist's hands begin to touch the clay. And as they touch the clay, the pot begins to move and ebb and flow in this most graceful way. The slightest touch, the smallest pressure, caused a change in the pot's shape. The potter added a ridge here or a line there, reshaped an edge. Some of the artistic movements caused the whole shape to ebb and flow, to weave and change. It was mesmerizingly artistic to think that the smallest movement created a lasting mark. Our lives are like that. God shapes and molds us and puts us forth into creation, but then we add our hand to the wheel. Our movements and additions can be gracefully artistic or disastrously damaging. Each time we reach out to touch our lives, to shape that clay, we leave a mark, and we must decide if that mark is permanent or if we're going to try to retouch it, reshape it, smooth it out, try something else. The words we say, the phrases we utter, are being recorded in the wet clay of our life to be played back, perhaps at some future moment. So what are we adding to the clay? Your relationships, your interactions, your daily lives are shaped and molded by these choices. As you look back over the marks you left in the clay of your life this week, are you pleased? Was it a good week? Are you proud of what you crafted with the vessel God blessed you with? Or do you need to do some reshaping, some reforming this week? Some reworking of the pieces of your life because they're a bit rough, a bit uneven. I got called an idiot this week by someone I had always considered to be a friend. They didn't do it verbally. It's not like somebody walked up to me and said, "You're an idiot." They posted something on their Facebook page, this little meme they put up, and the exact wording of it escapes me, but the basic gist of it was, if you don't agree with me, you're an idiot. As I read that this week, and I got to admit, had my feelings hurt a little bit, I wondered if they realized what they were etching into the clay of their life, the clay of their relationships. They etched in some meanness, some shortness, some anger, some hatred. They recorded it in the soft clay, and they have now left it to dry, to harden, to become permanent. I don't know if they'll ever try to reshape this mark, to smooth it out. But it's a mark that I can see in the clay of our relationship. It's a lasting reminder of that moment. Words and actions matter. Because you are shaping and forming the clay of your life. What marks are you leaving in the clay? What marks do you wish to leave in it? I met with a wedding couple yesterday. I do, as you know, about 30 weddings a year. I meet a lot of couples. Met with this couple yesterday, and as we were talking, we found out that we had a few things in common. The groom had lived in Kearney for a while, and of course I worked up in Kearney for a few years. And the bride was from Omaha originally, and I lived in Omaha for about 7 years. So we got to talking, and at one point she mentioned that she had grown up in a Lutheran church there. And I said, "Oh, really? I worked for a Lutheran organization when I lived in Omaha called Martin Luther Homes." And she said, "Well, what do you know? My grandmother used to work at Martin Luther Homes." And I said, "She did?" I said, "What was her name?" And she said, "Dorothy." And I realized that this was the granddaughter of my former boss. The woman who I've actually... Some of the story I've given before, you've heard about my boss. This is the person who fired me before I went into seminary. One of the times when I asked God to make it more clear what I was supposed to do, and the next day I got fired type thing. Yeah, this was the woman that did the firing. And as I sat there and realized that, I thought to myself, oh my gosh, if I do this wedding, I'm going to have to come face to face someone I haven't seen in 18 years. The last time I talked to this woman, she was saying, "You're fired." And I tried to think back. 18 years is a long time. What was I doing 18 years ago? What marks was I leaving in the relationship between me and this person? What am I going to see hardened in the clay when we meet again? The bride and groom liked meeting with me. They wanted to hire me for their wedding. They said, "We'd like to go ahead and just pay you right now." And I said, "That's probably good before you talk to your grandma." So... just covered my bases there. God worked our clay with grace and love. God created us lovingly and purposefully to be the person that God needs us to be. And then sent us forth, allowing our hand to touch the wheel as well, to add our own marks into the clay. We get to choose how we shape tomorrow. Our lives, our moments, our relationships, what will we choose? I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him and holding fast to him, for that means life to you. Amen.